and it's, you know, we've allocated 1.5 minutes. Jean's not got a hearing aid in, so I can say that. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you, each and every one who has contributed over this past year and years. I think we're coming up to 18 years in ministry, and God has sustained us and blessed us and enabled us because of team, not because of one person or two people or half a dozen people, but because of us. We make it up. Those that are present with us today, those that are in Grace Community Church, and those that walked with us many years ago, it's their contribution and their prayer and their talents and their finances that has helped sustain us over these years. I'm grateful. We are thankful for Ken and the ministry that he's brought to us in his willingness to serve us. It's nice that we have Julio and his wife here, because some of you may remember that he came and ministered to us, and I had to spend a few months for the traumatized ones, but they got over it, Julio, that's okay. See, it took a little while for that to sink in, because I had my serious voice on. But no, thank you. Whatever you do, when you pray for us, when you financially give within in the ministry, when you serve, it's doing what the Lord wants us to do. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that God had called us, we wouldn't be here 18 years on. So thank you for that. Our children are going out to Children's Church. Ken's going to prepare to come and minister to us. Let's prepare our hearts, our ears, and let's see what the Lord does. Amen.
Thank you ever so much. Well, I like the worship at this place. I'm, you know, you're on quiet just because you got the AGM. Is that why you use quick?
Yeah.
That's a shame. Oh, that's all right. Well, do you know what? You need to be thankful. I'm looking around the hall now. Who's not here? That's what pastors always do. They never look who's here. They always look who's not here. And, you know, I can think of three, five sort of regular adults. So, you know, you are doing a lot better over the years. Room for more, but thankful for what we've got. Amen. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. For you are a good God. You said your mercies are new every morning. You said goodness and mercy follow us every day of our life. So you are here, two or three gathered in your name. You are present by your spirit. And you said he would take those things which are yours and he would reveal them to us, that he would speak to our hearts and show us Jesus. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Speak to our hearts. Each one of us need more of you. Lord, we want today to be changed. We don't want to just do church. So come. We are thankful. It sounds so hollow when we say we are thankful, but as you see each heart, you know the deep, deep, deep gratitude we have for the life you've given us in Jesus. So we thank you now. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Look, a lot of red ink. Red ink Bible, so if you didn't know, Julio knows, red ink. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I want to say something from the very outset. My reason for saying this is a lot of Christians need to realize that you have been brought near. Yeah. Not just brought in, oh, I'm saved, but you have been brought near. Now, if you get nothing else at the end of today, I want you to get this, that God in Christ brought you near to himself. Not just in. Oh, I'm just happy to be in heaven. Let me give you a quote from John Wesley that I don't agree with. Someone came to John Wesley one day and said to him, "Mr. Wesley, do you think we'll see Mr. Whitfield in heaven?" Because Wesley and Whitfield had a bit of a thing. And Wesley said, "Oh, I don't think I'll see Whitfield in heaven." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, we will be so far from the throne, and Mr. Whitfield will be so near to the throne, that I don't think we'll see him." Now, that's a great statement, but I don't think it's quite right. Because I think each one of us will be near to the throne. I think each one of us will have access to God. It won't be some kind of great host, myriad upon myriad, 10,000 upon 10,000, and somewhere right at the back you'll see Ken. And maybe after a millennium or two, I might even get a bit nearer to God. I don't think that's the idea. The whole idea of this thing is that God has always wanted people near him. What is the chief end of man? The short of Westminster Confession, which is the statement of Protestant truth, that what we're supposed to believe. Question number one. What is the chief end of man? Answer number one, that he might know God and enjoy him forever. We not know about, not know from a distance, but that we might know God. And for those of you who read your Bible, I'm going to be quick today because you've got an AGM. For those of you who know your Bible, it has been God's, why did God create Adam? He's not lonely, he don't need company. No, it sounds right, but he is a complete being. So in that sense, he never gets lonely, never gets sad, never gets miserable, never gets... He is a complete being. So he didn't make man for him. He made man that we can enjoy him. Not some egotistical thing, but he knows that somehow or another this would be the best that he could do. That he could create somebody... You and me, that would actually enjoy him. Now, to enjoy him, he's got to make himself accessible. So whilst he dwells in unapproachable light, the Bible says, yet somehow or another, we are allowed to come near. You who were far off have been brought, not in, brought near. If you get nothing else, when you go home today, you think, I have been brought near to God. I was thinking about that song, "Let Me Lay Against You, Feel Your Heartbeat. This love is so real." You know that one? I'd like the concept of just being laid. John the Baptist, John the Apostle, as he laid his on Jesus' bosom. Wouldn't it be nice just to think that we can be that close to God? And yet, somehow, this wonderful thing, and I'm not going to get into all the theology of it, that the God who is totally unapproachable, so separate from mankind, and yet makes himself totally accessible, totally available, totally... That's where we're going to go today. God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He is so near to us. He has brought us what? You who were far off, get this little bit, in Christ have been brought near. In Christ. And that's where we're going to go. Firstly, so God made man to enjoy him. What happened? You all know it, and I'm going to do some very quick scripture for you. Sin. What does it say in Isaiah 59:2? Your sins have separated you from your God. Not that God pushed us away, but we, through our sin, separated ourselves from God. You are a purer eye than to behold sin. Sin cannot dwell in his presence. And therefore, because sin happened, it drove mankind away from God. Agreed? Very quickly, come on, if you want to get to your AGM. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For most people have sinned. All. What does all mean? All. For all have sinned. None is, next one, Romans chapter 3, no, 6, 3:10. None is righteous. What does not one mean? Not one. None of you and me. All have sinned. None is righteous. But who is doing Roman road? He's not, because Ezekiel. That just threw you, didn't it? 18 and 4. The soul that sins shall surely die. Ready? Man is now separated from God, all mankind, and has this death sentence hanging over them. For the wages of sin is death. Payday will surely come. Physical death. But what does death actually mean? That's a good question for you. What does death actually mean? You've been around for too many years. It means separation. It don't mean termination. It means separation. Everyone will die. As in Adam, all men die. Everybody will die. But thank God, in Christ all shall be made alive. Some will be separated from God eternally. Some will have a separation from their body, which will be reunited at the resurrection. But death means separation. So the wages of sin. Ready? Have you got the picture so far? All have sinned. None is righteous. The wages of sin is death. Death means separation. All mankind is separate from God. But Romans road. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. I keep looking at Julio because he knows this. God demonstrated his love, his own love. His own love, not just love, his own love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Always remember this. It's a great prayer. It's a great truth. But God. You don't really need much more. But God, you said. But God, you are. But God, I know. But God. Another one for you. But God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Who is rich in mercy, wherein he has loved us, in that whilst we were yet dead in our sins, he has made us alive in Christ. So far now we've seen that mankind has found a rescue plan. And that rescue plan is Christ. All right? Flying along. Now let me just give you something. You go to your doctors, and your doctor gives you a prescription, and you know by the testimony of others, by the skill and ability of the doctor, and by the character of the doctor, that he's not prone to lying. He has said that if you take this medication, it will deal with your problem. So you go and you go to the chemist, and you may even spend money, which you do quite often in England nowadays, and you will get your medication. Do you know? I believe this medication will deal with my condition. I believe that the doctor I've been to see, who is a good doctor, got a great reputation, great testimonial, great experience, academic, and everything, he has told me this will work. I believe it will. Look at it. You can just look at it and believe it will do. My friend, will you get any better? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely facile to think that. And yet most people out there will say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's God's remedy for sin. And the God who's spoken has told me that there is an answer to my condition. Will that do them any good? It only does you good when you take it. And that's the biblical definition. You see, it's not believing in. The actual Greek is to believe into. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever so believe in him, the Greek is to believe into. It's not to believe about. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You who were far off have been brought in Christ, have been brought near. If you are not in Christ, you are still afar off. But rowing boat comes by. The man throws out the life jacket. I believe that life jacket will save me. I've heard a lot about life jackets. I know life jackets work. I could even tell you the physics of why maths. I could tell you the maths. It'll work. Will it do me any good if I do not put it on? No. So we have decided now that for me to have my sins dealt with is not just an academic, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. But I believe into his death, into his substitution for me, into his place. The wonderful word we have, ready? Faith. That I believe he died for me. I believe that when I put this life jacket on, I'm going to be saved. I believe when I take that medication, I will be saved. Am I making sense to somebody today? Because we're going to talk about you coming near. But it's not a matter of just pure academics. It's a matter of you by faith believing what the Bible says. It's a matter of you taking God at his word. Ready? Ready? But you've still got Ephesians chapter 2, got your finger in, haven't you? But now, when? But now, you, in this, and that's the present tense, you who were far off have been brought near. Oh yes, when I die, I'm just going to go into... That's not what it says. It doesn't say, but you, when you die, will be brought near. It says, but now. I want to encourage you to get a revelation today that God, you are so near to God if you are in Christ. That when you pray, when you fellowship, when you just worship, it's not some strange, far off, but an ever-present help. Are you getting it today? That I think us Christian people, we know what we're not. And because we know what we're not, we think, well, somehow or another, I could play for the C team. I won't play for the A team. I could play for the B team, but knowing me, I'll be content just for the C team. God says, no. He's got no favourites, no partiality, no specials. But everyone who was far off has been brought near. What can separate us from the love of God? We who were far off have been brought near. Let me give you a scripture you know. For by grace you have been saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, through faith, not of yourself, is a gift of God. Ready? For by grace, God's part. Grace is a gift. It's unearned, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. God gave you a gift. Grace. What does that definition of that grace look like? Salvation. And I'm not going to do sozo for you, which is the Greek S-O-Z-O. To heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. For by grace you have been saved. How? How? Through faith. You believe what God said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you. As many as called on the name of the Lord shall be. And you said, all right, I believe that. And the moment you did, you came into Christ. Into his salvation, into his life, into his deliverance, into all that he is. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God wanted you to come back. God wanted you back home. God wanted you to be where you wanted you from the foundation of the world, to know him and enjoy him. But you don't know where I am. Do you know what? I don't care. You don't know what I've done. God does. But he still loves you. Would I? Maybe not. But I'm not God. He does. You see, we start telling God how he ought to be. Oh, if I was God, I'd give him a good slap. I'd teach him. I'd break a leg or two. Oh, yes, if I was God. But God, who is rich in mercy. What is he? Rich in mercy. Even when we're far off, has brought us near. By the blood of Jesus. God, look, I'm right down here. So what is it? Faith. Simple. I told you about Ada, didn't I? I told her for years. When we first saved, dear sweet Ada, she had one tooth. And she's getting up there in years, and she used to say, you've got to have faith. And of course, you had to move out of the way because spit would come round the tooth. My wife remembers the story. You've got to have faith. If you said faith in what, she wouldn't have the foggiest. You've got to have some inanimate kind of... Well, yeah, it's not as you've got faith. Faith. Because she was in London. Faith. She didn't know what she meant, but she was right. But my faith. What is faith? Confident trust. I'm going to go with the medical theme today. You go to the surgeon. You've got his testimonial. You can look on the wall. He's got all his. You've got the testimonies of others. Oh, yeah, I had the same as you, and he did the thing. And he's got an education. He's got an experience. He's got all of that. But then there comes a place where you say, in the light of what I know and the revelation I have got, I'm going to let him put me to sleep and start chopping up. That's faith. Yeah. You don't know the outcome. You don't know how he's going to do it. Am I making sense to somebody? So you see, faith for some people just gets so... We've got to have faith. Faith is that confident trust. I've got a confident trust in God. Why? He cannot lie. He's got a proven track record. Others tell me about him. I've only got to look around and see his handiwork. I'm going to trust him. And the moment I do, I am brought near. But you need to start seeing where you are. We are not out there somewhere. I've got to tell you something. I've got to tell you how good God is. He actually loves me. Now, I know you find it hard, Emma. I can see it on your face. I know you're saying God must be able to do anything, because I can see that on you. But he loves me. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Quickly then. For Christ suffered once for sin. Why? To bring us to God. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. Why did Christ die? To deal with my sin. Yeah, but that's not quite the full package, and that's where so many people stop. It was the sin that separated me from God. So Christ died for my sin. What to do? To bring me to God. To make the way open. I have access in the one spirit. I can come to God. See, now prayer, because we make a big thing about prayer, don't we? That if I make it loud, if I make it long, O thou who sits in the heavens. And it makes it all so, sounds wonderful, but so distant. I've got daughters. Gentlemen, daughters are a blessing of God, but don't have any skill. When they're growing up, don't tell them you can do anything. Because why? Oh, Dad, I've got a broken thingy.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, could you just... It won't take five... One of my daughters, I won't say which one. It'll only take 5 minutes. I know I'm going to be there for an hour. Because when the 5 minutes, suddenly she starts reading out. Oh, why are you here? Could you do... But why? Why? Because I'm... Yeah. Why? Because she knows I love her. And she knows that she's got access. So she don't have to kind of, oh, loving Father, I know you are a very generous man for your nature. Here, Dad. Or in some cases, here, Mum. Dad will stand and watch. But I'm making sense to you that prayer shouldn't be some... The spiritual life is a challenge. It's all of that. I'm not making light of it. But if you make it hard, that's why so many give up rather than enjoy. Who's been to a Christian funeral, you know? Oh, Harry's dead. That's a real shame. How old is Harry? Oh, 97. Uh-huh. Is he a believer? Yeah, what a pity. Someone's theology is slightly wrong. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That which I know in part, then shall I know in full, as I am fully known. That which I know in part. Do you want some more? What time's your AGM? Couple of minutes then. Buckle up, and I'll give you the scriptures then. Jesus put it like this: where I am, there they may be also. Now, see, we do that at a funeral, don't we? I'm supposed to walk in. John 14. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare one for you, and when I prepared it, I will come and take you unto myself. But where I am, there you might be also. Not only in the future, but now. Where is Jesus now? Come on, I'm going to preach for you. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Having purged us from our sins, he has sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. That's right, isn't it? It is. Where? In heavenly places. Right. Where are you? You're in Christ. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of majesty. That's why in the book of Ephesians it says, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus is sat at the right hand of God. Somehow or another, you work it out. You're in him. You're sat at the right hand of God. Does it make it very distant then? And for those of you who struggle, Isaiah 41. Now I'm going to shut this up for you very quickly. There. Come on, I've got it in my notes. Yeah, verse 13. So, get the picture. You're not there now, dirty old sinner, except for Emma. You're not there as a dirty old sinner now. You are there welcomed in Christ. Seated at the right hand of majesty. In heavenly places. The right hand, place of authority. Wish I had more time to talk about that. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He said in Mark, I have to do this, 16, round about verse 17, he said, in my name. The authority he has, he's given to you. Why? Because you're seated at the right hand of majesty on high in Christ Jesus. There's a good one for you to ponder over lunch. Isaiah 41:13 says this. There you are, sat at the right hand of God. For the Lord says, he takes hold of your, may I? Right hand. That's the left one. No, so, that's my right hand. That's all right? Yeah, of course, I'm left hand. I took the bit of ribbon off my left hand. But it takes your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help. Can you imagine now, if you bear with me, that God can just reach across, touch your hand, say, fear not, I will help. For you who were far off have been. The question is today, for all of us, are we in Christ? Where's my medication gone? Oh, gluten-free medication. It's great. Do you know, this will take me to heaven. This will deal with my sin problem. This has made peace with God, Romans 5:1. This will give me life eternal. This, I just can't tell you how good this is. But it will do you no good until you actually take it. And there's people who hang around church. Not this church, Pastor. There are people who hang around church who could tell me all sorts of things about Jesus and you ain't saved. And you ain't going to heaven. Why? Because they've never taken that step of trust, of giving up self and trusting Christ to save them. So I think as we pray today, as we stand in the presence of God, the good thing is the eyes, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You, at this very moment, each one of us is being read. The eyes of the Lord. Where shall we run? Where can we hide from thy presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down there, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, who do I bump into but you? Ken version. Today, where are you, my friend? if you made that choice. Or there are others who like to dip their toe in and pull it out again. I don't swim, but I love to watch people at the beach or at the swimming pool. You know, you've got that lot who just in. You've got the others who cautiously kind of. But then you've got the others, the dippers. Or, hey, I've got wet, that's enough. It'll spoil my makeup. Where are you? Should we stand? Should we pray in the presence of God? The wonderful thing about this is, of course, is that the surgeon will never make anybody have the operation. He can stand there and say, yeah, you know, I've got it for you. I can do it. But it's got to come this place where you for yourself, me for myself, acknowledge my sin. I am dirty, stinking, horrible. I have nothing to commend me to God. If it comes to judgment day, I deserve to be sent to hell. I have a debt that I cannot repay. But God, who is rich in mercy, has made provision. He sent Jesus. Jesus came, died in my place, shed his blood for my sin, that I might be saved, that I might come home to God, that I might come near. And on that day when you stand before God, you will not point a finger at me and say, preacher, you did not tell me there's a heaven to win and a hell to shun. You didn't say that God hadn't made a way for me out of this sin thing. Christ, Christ and Christ alone is sufficient for your sin, for my sin. My friend, today, I'm going to ask you a question. As God's reaching over the portals of heaven and watching you for your answer, his ears are always attentive. Have you made Christ your Saviour? Do you know on that last day when you draw your last breath and you stand before the Almighty God, you will be able to say, Christ is enough. I have trusted him for this life and for my future. And if you've not done that today, my friend, I must ask you a simple question. Why not? That's why the Bible says now. Today is the appointed day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. I'll do it one day. Do you know what? You might die before one day comes. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you, in all honesty, if you know that you are not a Christian, and even now the Spirit of God is telling you, you need to get right with God. Why not now? Why not today? And you can tell your pastor afterward, today I have made that step. I have stepped out of death into life, out of dark into light, out of lost into found. Loving Father, I've come today with this word that you sown in my spirit to tell your people that you have brought them near in Jesus. And that has been the desire of your heart from the foundation of the world. Now, Spirit of God, as you move through this hall, as you come and minister to each one, as you read each one of us, I pray for those who would claim to be Christian, that today they would get an excitement about being able to draw nearer to you. For those who have grown cold, I pray, Holy Spirit, breathe on them afresh. But for those who have never known you, that today would be that first step. You are only a step away. Now, if that's you, don't let this day go. Don't let this moment go. Do business with God. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to know anything. A drowning man cannot tell you how a life raft works. But when it comes floating by, he will get in it. You don't have to know everything other than Christ died for you. You're a sinner who needs to be saved. And if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That's the word of a God who cannot lie. Amen. 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 Pastor.